I don't know. I've been told. Deidre's got a network node. Likes to press the on-off switch. Dig that crazy Gaia witch.
I have no idea what's happening.
You never played Alpha Centauri?
That sounds unlikely.
That sounds like the game that came after Civ.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah, I played that once. That was fun. A lot of terraforming.
I played Civ once, like all the way through to nuclear disaster, and then...
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong game. No, it is. It is. It's the one where you...
It was done by Sid Meier in his Firaxis days, which is why the
After you win Civ, you fly off to space with a science victory. You land on Alpha Centauri, and then Alpha Centauri is like the...
Yes, Alpha Centauri was the game that started... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and they made a wonderful GURPS source book for it as well.
So, no, I have never played that.
It's on GOG, I believe, or Steam, or both. I mean, it's if you've got a weekend to kill and you're itching to hit that late 90s, early 2000s 4X spot, it is just about the perfect game for that.
Yeah. I want to go ahead and open the channel.
Do it, Doug.
Let's talk about a game that we actually play.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you talk about time to spare. If I'm on a tablet, I'm playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. If I'm on a computer, I'm playing Diablo. If I'm not doing that, I'm playing poker. So, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I play. I don't check out new games.
I was going to say that was a new game like 20 years ago.
I mean, yeah. Alpha Centauri was a seminal part of my first sophomore year of college experience and a small part of the reason why there was a second sophomore year.
Was it Vegeta or Alpha?
Oh, it was definitely Vegeta. I completely, he was in there instantly.
Nice.
Jobu.
It's very bad to steal Jobu from.
All right. I got my wake up yawn out of the way. Should be good.
Feeling energized?
No.
Me neither. But I can definitely make it through a show.
Craig's wife has been texting.
Got some updates as well.
So they're not dead yet.
Right.
Did she text you that Craig encountered his first full-on butters in a restroom?
He did. I heard that.
Like South Park butters?
Yeah. Like when you are using the urinal and you are an adult male and you pull your pants all the way down to your ankles to pee? Along with your underpants? Yeah, that happened while he was on a boat. All right, I think I'm going to fire up this here program if you guys are ready. I guess I can wait one more minute.
I mean, I guess if you're on a boat and the things are choppy, it's better to do that than risk spill damage.
Risk being on your pants?
No, it's still not.
That guy's a pioneer. I'm bringing it back, or I'm taking over.
I don't know what's with the older generation that they think it's okay to walk away from the urinal without... getting things where they should be first.
I guess it's just when you reach a certain age, you just don't care.
Yeah, that is definitely a component.
All right, well, it is 9 now, so I'm not going to stop you.
Cool. Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the 232nd installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3 podcast, the number one listener interactive podcast themed around Marvel Puzzle Quest that is currently on the soon-to-be-named network.
Definitely true.
I feel like that's super accurate. We are your hosts. I'm Ian. This is Ray. We are the founders of the Puzzle Warriors Alliance, and today our guest host is none other than the inventor of the Puzzle Warriors 3 infographic, and a legendary baseball archivist, I think, UNC Samurai. Howdy, Samurai.
Those of you who receive Facebook gifts from me in-game may know me as...
That's been a while, but...
Oh, all right. This is the week, we're going to cover March 4th through March 11th?
Sure.
The year 2020.
That sounds like they're 7 days apart, yeah.
Yeah, math. Deadpool dailies are, probably today's Angel, and then tomorrow's Black Panther, Friday Magneto, then Storm, Luke Cage, Rocket and Groot, Spider-Man, and Daredevil.
I have no idea who those people are. Can you give them to me in some sort of really obscure nickname form?
I could, but I wasn't prepared for that, and I can't think on my feet. So instead, I will just talk about the 5-day, 4-star crash of the Titans. Right now, Professor X is beating up on Elektra. That was not only a success for everybody, but is often everybody's first time that they finally won a Crash of the Titans.
Yeah, I saw a post in Reddit saying exactly that yet again.
It was mine.
Yeah.
Invisibility
is the key to the first time you win. Feels good.
It's a great equalizer.
And then you just gain momentum from there. So yeah, that was, I was even going really slow and not doing well, and I still couldn't be stopped because of the invisibility, because I would just sit there and I'm pumping up all those strike towels she gives me, and I'm pumping them up like crazy, and then she just swipes them, and then they're even more powerful against me, but they can't do anything, so I make a 5 match and she dies.
Yeah, the only problem with that is the shadow step. It makes it a pretty long fight, at least it did for me.
Yeah, the shadow step is, drags it out of you.
Yeah.
Coming up next is Cyclops will be battling none other than one of the 5-star Iron Men?
Hulkbuster.
Hulkbuster,
yeah, actually
Iron
the 4,
Man.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. That's still, again, while not as relevant as he once was, 4-star Cyclops is super powerful and should be able to slice through Hulkbuster, no problem.
Ian, I would max your blue at probably at the expense of yellow. You only have a 4 in your blue at the moment.
Oh, okay.
One of your few, or one of your not so few anymore, champ 4s, you're really going to want blue's ability to take as much red off the board as possible. Because if he...
Yeah.
Oh, does his called shot eat up their red pool?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Smart. I will do that.
Even when he's champed, yeah. if you let Hulkbuster get off a punch, it...
Yeah, it hurts. If it doesn't totally wipe you out. Yeah, he's a good... All right, I can do that. So that's optimistic. So we're looking good there. Let's see what's in PvE. We've got Strange Sights starting tomorrow. So everybody can battle their brand new...
Everyone, welcome to the potential new horror Cassilius. That is CL10 Mindless Ones.
Yeah, not really looking forward to that on SCL10, but we'll see. I don't think I'm backing off.
Right. So I did some lazy writing on the script because I forgot to last minute when I announced these prizes. If it's a 3-star or a 4-star, you get a cover plus some shards. If it's the 5-star, you just get shards. So Strange Sights progression rewards are Gambit, Carolina, and Beta Ray Bill. Placement rewards are Hood, North Star, and Lumber Cap. Coming up after that, Deadpool versus Marvel Puzzle Quest. Progression will get you, again, Hood, North Star, and Lumber Cap. Placement will get you Quicksilver, Ant-Man, and Doctor Doom. And coming up after that, which probably is unnecessary for the show because we're not covering it, and I didn't notice that until now. Just kidding. So let's talk about, we'll move over to the kickoff of the She-Ra Princess of Power season. In PvP, starts nice. Off with Fist Bump starting tomorrow. Progression will get you Iron Fist and Mr. Fantastic. Placement will get you Punisher, Mysterio, and Dr. Octopus. And then following that is Army of One. And in progression, you can get some Punisher and Mysterio. And placement will get you Dr. Octopus, Namor, and Doctor Strange. So there's a little bit of news. And by a little bit of news, I mean there appears to be some release notes. Ray, are you sitting down?
In fact, I am.
All right. The clue for the soon-to-be 4-star character is right hand eye?
That is the weirdest game of Twister I have ever played.
I don't know. I thought about this for a little bit, and I couldn't come up with anything. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, either the clue is... letting you know that the next character will have both a right hand and a right eye, so it could be any number of people. Maybe it's finally going to be a long shot. See if something janky going on with his right eye, or is it his left eye?
I was going to ask maybe if there were any Summers brothers that were missing an eye or someone in the Summers family.
Or maybe it's a reversal, kind of like the last clue was for Havoc. So maybe the next clue, the next four-star character is going to be deceased TLC member Lisa Left Eye Lopez. I do not know. Longshot was my only guess, but that's just because I like to guess Longshot. I know one of his eyes is shiny. I don't know if it's left or is right. I don't know if having a right hand or a right eye is... I'm not good with the clues anymore. If I can't guess Black Bolt anymore, so I haven't been good since then. Let's see what changes have occurred or will occur with these release notes. Spring Forward is happening soon for people who celebrate Daylight Savings Time.
Or Punisher, or if you don't celebrate, it's right, just being foisted upon you. If you're disappointed by
it, but you're forced to live in it.
Yeah.
We got to be able to fight the Kaiser.
Right. Four-star Punisher to the Max's Black Power Army of One has the strike tile strength at the third power level match power levels 2, 4, and 5. I have no idea what I just said.
So apparently there was some discrepancy if you had Max Punn's green at 3, I don't know if the power curve was out of alignment or if there was just a bug. That's the only thing I
okay. Oh, and the third level was not appropriate compared to levels 2, 4, and 5?
I think
so. Is that what I'm reading? Okay, I gotcha. I'm back on board. And let's see what else. The amount of damage required to destroy the War 4 Horsemen tile increases more uniformly across all levels. Does that mean that they felt like it was too low and they raised it? Or as you go up in clearance levels, it was not going up in a uniform way?
I'm thinking the latter.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because if it's A, boo. If it's B, nice catch. Good job, guys.
Yeah, I think that's just to keep... It was one of the, 800 tiny little unforeseen things that came with introducing CL10.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, the last time that we played it, man, I triggered that without even trying, like at all. So I'm thinking they upped it in the higher levels.
Right. That makes sense. Great. That's all I saw in the forums. Did I miss anything? Or are you guys aware of anything that I may have missed?
I don't know. Did you happen to see a post about somebody's first maxed out 4-star champ and downvote it?
Well, why would I downvote it?
Well,
I can't be certain that I didn't.
Because when I posted my max champ Bagman last year, Ian made a point to say that he downvoted it.
Okay.
That I did. I don't know. Did someone post a max champ 4-star Gwenpool today?
No, just Carol. My Gwenpool's a ways off.
Oh, yeah. No, I would never downvote Carol. She's a delight. I would hang out with her. She seems nice. Plus, I like her short haircut.
Now I get it. You downvoted it because it was Bagman?
I think so.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit because it was Samurai, too. It was probably a little kind-hearted sass. That's what I figured. Yeah. A little bit of both. No, that's it. Any local news in the Carolina or State College regions?
I'm sure there was in listener comments, yes. Actually, Samurai posted this on Reddit, so, kind of weird. But apparently NBC in Philadelphia picked up the news about Taco Bell closing downtown and State College because the college students here went out and had a mourning ceremony. They had a vigil out in front of the old Taco Bell. People brought candles and flowers and...
Those crazy kids.
People are crazy. They're just...
Yeah. I mean, again, I feel like they still have Taco Bell options in the town. And I just had that for lunch because I saw that they added buffalo chicken nacho fries to their menu. Right. And I was like, that needs to happen. Let me tell you guys, that doesn't need to happen. I am filled with Tums pre-show.
On the other hand, I would love to try a nacho or a buffalo chicken chalupa. That sounds really good.
Oh, is that even? That wasn't even offered here. We have the burrito or the fry platter. Buffalo chicken chalupa. That's for me.
Tums, Sluggo, and acids.
Yeah. What? Oh no! What's happening in Discord?
He said he's filled with what? I don't know what he heard, but
right.
I don't want to know what he heard.
Yeah, the tablet form of Pepto-Bismol.
Also, Norman B. Said that there is a Facebook group for people who are squabbling over the Allen Street summer project. So, you know, you could check that out. The link is in Reddit. People have too much time on their hands.
Facebook group for a hyper-local infrastructure issue. That sounds like the worst form of social media cancer known to man.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to argue.
Right. So, we are down a usual puzzle warrior this week. He is sailing the seas and will either fall victim to COVID-19 or piracy. I can't decide which. So we're going to take a one-week hiatus on the sitcom showdown bracket. In its place, we will be taking listener/guest host Grouses, brought to you by none other than Samurai.
Yeah, so I've been trying not to swamp the conversation on Discord when this segment hits, but as usual, you are all wrong so often, and I had
to take a moment to not false.
To use my soapbox that I've been offered this week. And thank you all for having me on so that I can rip you a new one.
Sure.
I am still...
Don't worry, the Taco Bell already did that for you.
I am still bitter about Roseanne getting picked over Perfect Strangers.
Okay. Fair. No, not fair. Over Perfect Strangers?
Yes, because Larry and Balky, it was such a great show. It was.
I reference it every week.
Yeah, it was amazing how much the show progressed and how much the characters progressed over the seasons. It was amazing how multi-talented they were. The number of little show tune vaudevillian routines they put into it. It was great from an acting standpoint. It was great from a comedy standpoint. And this comes to my main gripe of I you all held up Roseanne over it.
Yes.
You.
I feel like Roseanne met all those criteria and more.
Well, see, but here's my problem. Y'all held the and by y'all, I mostly Craig, held the late seasons of The Cosby Show and Mork and Mindy against them. Oh, when the little kid came along, you know, jumped the shark, that ruined The Cosby Show. Oh, Jonathan Winters and the baby come along, that ruins Mork and Mindy. Yet Roseanne and Scrubs had two of the single worst final seasons of any TV show in modern memory. I mean... Yes. Right. Okay. Scrubs was trying to transition to a completely new series, and the transition attempt completely bombed.
Right.
Roseanne has no excuse. They completely went off the rails with the last season of the original run of that show when they win the lottery and John Goodman's character has a heart attack. Oh, but he doesn't die. Oh, but he's cheating on her. And then he just sods off to California for an entire season to take care of it. It was awful. It was. But those aren't held against the shows, but, you know, Cosby and Mork and Mindy. Yeah, go ahead.
You have to see who they went. You have to see who they faced. I feel like up against Perfect Strangers, Roseanne did have that shortcoming. But I think everything that led up to that was superior than everything that Perfect Strangers offered. And I don't remember where. You're right. I was prejudiced against Mork and Mindy. I didn't think that show was funny. I didn't think any components of that. I know that Ray and Craig were like, oh yeah, once somebody came on that show, I was like, I don't know who you're talking about, and I don't care. That show sucked. I don't know. I didn't have the attachment to it. And against How I Met Your Mother, there's no way I'm going to let Mork and Mindy move on if I have any say in it.
But again, we're talking about shows jumping the shark and the crime against humanity that was the ending of How I Met Your Mother.
That was a superb ending. Superb. It had everything I could have wanted in an ending. Detailed epilogue. And then it came back to Robin. It came back to what the show was really about.
They
cut through the guise of How I Met Your Mother and let me know that even after all that they had been through, Ted was still in love with Robin, and it was finally their time to be together.
I take back all the good things I have ever said about you in the history of humankind.
No way. That show was a great show with a great ending.
That was a bargain basement troll ending. And
negative. I feel like they tackled some serious issues with her marriage with Barney. I mean, really, they spent a whole episode giving you an epilogue of every character that wasn't one of the five main characters on the show.
I just find this all amusing because I'm in the exact same type of argument with Ian, but it's concerning Full House, so
Well, see, Full House started as ridiculously saccharine, and
yeah,
it, you know, I've heard the argument that Full House was just an excuse for Bob Saget to pad his checkbook, since his, you know, stand up routine was not. It's a very niche audience,
right?
But you know, you can make the argument Full House started from a, this is not supposed to be high art. This is just supposed to be a paycheck for everybody.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother was at least building to something, and then they just...
And then they got there and went, hit a home run.
All right, we definitely are going to be on the agreeing to disagree on this, man.
I think so. On the How I Met Your Mother, I can recognize that I am in probably even an extreme minority with How I Met Your Mother, as far as the final season is concerned, but... I don't feel like I'm wrong. There's sometimes when I know that I'm in the minority and I know that I'm wrong. This isn't one of them. I don't know what's I don't want to go too much more into it, but I would like to hear Samurai on why. Tell me why that was flaw. What is the giant flaw you see in the finale of How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, it was a cop out. It was it just if you look at how these characters actually progress. You have this entire buildup towards this is the entire story I've been telling to tell you why this person was so important. And then basically at the end of it, it's like, oh yeah, she didn't even matter. The important thing was I went straight back to Colby Smulders' character again.
Well, the story was Ted was having a moment of catharsis when he was relaying this to his kids and realized that now that he has worked through the pain of the loss of his wife, that the whole time his feelings for Robin had still never changed, even after a happy marriage and an untimely death and two fantastic kids and that beautiful house. He's like, I'm ready to come back to, you know, where my first, like, true love. I think that was profound. I thought it was a fantastic ending.
This tangent is amazing. However, I have to agree with Sluggo that of all the bad takes on the TV bracket, this is the hill he's going to die on.
It wasn't a bad take, and I'm very serious about How I Met Your Mother. It was a great show. There were some bad takes. Full House was. Craig and I had a bad, stupid run with that show. Golden Girl, but they all kind of went out. I felt like. Where they could have gone out. Some of the shows I was unjust to because I didn't see them. I've not seen any episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Was it better than Full House? Maybe. I wouldn't know. I kind of liked Full House.
I'm in the unique position where I find cringe humor really uncomfortable, and I was not a huge fan of Seinfeld, and I was not a huge fan of Curb for those entire reasons. Because
right. To me, feel the same way about The Office.
To me, dramatic irony is a comedic tool, is a storytelling tool that so many hack writers use so poorly.
Fair.
Now, I will say that you all have completely missed the point of the ending of Seinfeld, which it took me a little while, because when I watched, I was like, wow, that was strange and kind of disappointing. And then I finally realized, listening to interviews with some of the show creators, they were like, they were terrible people. The whole point of the ending of that series was you're getting your comeuppance. You know, they have done terrible things to each other and to all these people in town, and this was karma coming back to bite their rear end off.
I really have no argument there. I've actually never seen the ending of Seinfeld, so
it's like a weird clip show, and then they end up in prison. It was not fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. All right, I think that has taken up the bracket time. So
the equivalent of a bracket.
Yeah.
All right. So you got a mailbag for me there, Willie Lumpkin?
Man, I should have really been ready before I told you to move on. Yes, I do. Loofishness over on Reddit said, I have had banana ram in my head all morning. Thanks, guys. Due to the name of the podcast being Cruel Summers. Jeff Duggan says, I would have voted for the Summer's Time Blues as the All Summers PvP name. Now that I hear that, I would have been 100% behind that. Summertime Blues would have been good. It's Almond Doe 69 says, my vote is for Summer's Time Sadness because I'm sure Craig hates Lana Del Rey. And we all just exist to make Craig cranky, right? Probably would have been a better effect if Craig were on on the show this week. But
wait, why does Craig not like Lana Del Rey?
I don't know.
She seems nice. She's a good voice. She's reasonably popular. I hope she's continually successful as a performer.
Knowing
artist.
Craig, though, I think it's like, you know, a decent shot that he doesn't like just because he...
Yeah,
because
she exists?
Know. Yeah, exactly. Norman B. did ask, so this week, is it Doom versus Full House? Is that how this works? No, that's not how this works. Two separate brackets, man. Come on. Although I would like to see Doom take on Full House. That would be entertaining 5 minutes. D-Wing said, in the unending conflict of Craig versus the script update is riding on a hot streak. And Shards, he says you could replace it with pieces, bits and bobs, hexos, or accumulators. I don't think he's going for any of those. I mean, Shards is so efficient. It's one syllable. But anyway. Ian, you said double it, 100% plus two. I'm guessing that Ian is not the math guy of the Puzzle Warriors 3.
Nope. I don't know. I believe that I said that. I don't know what's in reference to. Math is... No.
He also said, no matter how much personal information you three share, you always find a way to share things like the Vegas statue butt rubbing that just blows my mind.
I think I saw the Vegas statue butt rubbing at Lincoln Theater in 97.
So now that Ray has his switch cage fist with Thorkoye, we need Ian to have a team to hang on his hat, or hang his hat on, man. So you got a team that you use endlessly, Ian?
Yes, I use Carol Coulson and Peggy anytime that I'm not told to do something else.
There you go.
If I need a team that's going to get me to where I need to go, Carol Coulson, Peggy, that's all I got. Unless Hulkbuster's boosted. Then I need him to just punch a hole in whatever boss fight we're having that month. Then I use him. But yeah, nope, I guess if Carol Coulson and Peggy are a team, they're my team.
I'm not sure how Peggy synergizes in there, but
she does, Carol, but I like her. She's
Karen
real
Coulson,
good.
You know, that's obvious, but...
She uses the blue.
And the blue produces countdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. There's a little bit there.
Yeah.
So his last comment...
She also makes things more expensive. So she slows down my enemies so that Carol and Coulson have more time to just get out of hand.
Sure. Absolutely. Last comment from D-Wing. So Craig's opinion of Natalie Portman is shared with, drumroll, Ben Shapiro. It caught me off guard when I heard that.
I know!
We'll have to make sure to let Craig know that he shares an opinion with Ben Shapiro.
Man. Apparently, Natalie Portman makes strange bedfellows of Ben Shapiro and Craig.
Yeah. Gross. Okay, so that's it. That's all I got from the real bag. Thanks, Willie.
All right. For the third time ever, I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just want to pump
you up.
All right.
Oh.
Do it, Doug.
Yeah, so let's talk about boosted characters. Oh, let's see here. Oh, look, there is 1-star Spider-Man. No, I'm not going to do that to you. 3-star Bullseye. It's all about using that purple to deal enough damage to drop an enemy and get to black so you spam all those strike tiles. There's a lot of special tile manipulation that's boosted this week, and he's a good one to have in that mix. Cyclops, his damage is always solid, and he's got a little bit of board manipulation, so his red and his black are going to be solid punchers if you're in the 3-star tier this week. Doom, his purple is okay if you can make it work. Usually you end up having to burn all of the purple tiles that have his little markers on them in order to be able to fire it off. But his blue to black is nice, but you know, most AP and tile manipulation isn't affected by boosting, but his black tiles can be useful when they're used with other special tile manipulators. You fire off his black, you put down some attack tiles. Somebody like Bullseye comes along, has a bunch of strike tiles. It's all about that force multiplier effect. Human Torch. Oh wow, the rest of this 3-star list is people just desperately in need of a rework. Because I like Torch's red. It's fairly efficient. And it's got a nice built-in discount His green offers solid damage as long as you can keep feeding the repeater. But his black is just absolutely putrid given those secondary costs, because you're basically taking away, in addition to the cost of firing him off, it's going to take some yellow, some blue, some purple. Absolutely never pair him with Ant-Man, because firing off his black will make Ant-Man slower to fire off. Just get rid of those secondary costs. His black is so situational. I wish he just didn't cost that extra AP. He might actually be useful. And finally, the round off the 3-star tier is Sentry. Sentry, he got nuked and he never recovered. His red is one of the most annoying things in the world, because powers that end your turn are awful and should be eliminated from the game. The only one that's ever worth anything is Old Man Logan's. His yellow gives you a good strike tile, but he's boosted the same week as Bullseye. And if you're going to build a team to work with strike tiles and damage boosting, Bullseye is always going to be a better option than Sentry. However, his green can be useful in a lot of combos where characters trigger off of countdown tiles. Ian, you were talking about really enjoying playing with Carolyn Coulson. Have you ever put Sentry in with Carol?
I have never. Should I?
Well, you've seen his world rupture when he does the X of countdown tiles.
Yeah. When he his green that puts out a jillion countdown tiles.
Yeah. If you've got one or two strike tiles on the board and that goes off, they get insanely big. Against some of those, like we were talking about Strange Sights is coming up. You're going to be fighting some mindless ones. You're going to be fighting a lot of goons that are going to have a lot of health, but you don't have to necessarily worry about speed. That might be a good variation on the team for you to try out if you play any PvE this week. Now we get to the 4-star tier. Thor, she's pretty easy enough. Her red and yellow are going to get some damage boosts, and she's great at creating charge tiles. Unfortunately, nobody else in the boosted list really works with charge tiles, so if you want to use her, you're going to have to go off and find other uses for her elsewhere. Valkyrie is boosted, and she is absolutely dynamite in certain situations, both in PvP and versus live characters in PvE, especially now with clearance level 10. You're going to be fighting a lot of high-level people that will almost certainly trigger her yellow, and she will help spam strike tiles. Next week, when we get to Deadpool versus Marvel Puzzle Quest, I will probably be running Gritty plus Valkyrie in a couple of situations. You know, her red chain attack is also really nice because it's a series of segmented attacks, and if you pair her with Okoye's passive with her team-up files is going to boost that series of chain attacks really well. The threshold for her black for her bounty hunter is going to go up just a little bit, but, you know, if you're running fives and boosted fours, you know, especially in CL10, it's not going to take long for you to trigger her bounty. Let's see. Ant-Man. His purple and his blue pack a punch, but you effectively have to use them twice if you're going to use the damage. And most of the teams that you're going to run Ant-Man with, you're going to want his attack tile production, because there's a lot of special tile spam going on the boosted list this week. Oh, there's another one. Ants. That's another power that pairs well with the passives triggered by countdowns expiring. You put him in with Carol. Carol makes a couple strike tiles. He fires ants. He's going to make some more strike tiles, and when those countdowns expire, Carol's going to trigger and boost all of them, and those are going to really work well with his purple attack tiles. 4-star Black Panther, he's got a yellow repeater that's going to spit out some strike attack protects. They're going to be boosted a little bit. His red's going to have some damage and some good tile buffing. His blue is a little too narrow in focus, because it only really concerns protect tiles, although if you match a protect tile, he'll trigger some extra damage. I feel like Black Panther would be an absolutely perfect partner for Beta Ray Bill if Kinetic Shield wasn't blue, because there's a little too much power overlap in the key combo there. Otherwise, that could be a potential team, but I think that's just going to be a little too slow. And finally, there's Ronan Hawkeye. He is a poor man's Thanos, and not so poor when he's boosted. His green is going to be really effective at clearing out easy nodes and some of those lower level survival nodes as well, the wave nodes. His red, the passive where you make a match and you create some attack tiles, and you, if there's enough of them, you can buff them. He's going to be really good with other special tile spammers. and you know, his purple that deals the damage and drops the stunning seed countdown tile, that's gonna deal some extra damage. So this week, if you're playing CL10, my suggestion to you is take advantage of Valkyrie's boost. This segment, for the folks that play CL10, this segment, it's CL10 is territory that's beyond about 90-95% of what the boosted list will impact as far as the meta goes. But Valkyrie is an incredible gritty support when she's boosted. As far as the PvPs go, we're getting 3-star Fist and 4-star Punisher. Valkyrie will be useful in those. And I really like for folks and now I will say, because of the way the 4-star tier is set up now, it's hard for me to say if you're in transition, use this particular pair of characters, because that might be the 4-star that you just don't have any covers for. But if you're in that sort of range where you're not fully into the 4-star tier, and you've got Cyclops and you've got Ronin Hawkeye, I think they work really well together, because Cyclops is going to use his yellow. He's going to spam a lot of red onto the board. That's going to increase the matches that Ronin makes, which is going to prop up more attack tiles. And then all you need is just somebody to spam strike tiles. So if you're playing with that team in like a PvE where you have a free third slot, that might be a place to drop in 3-star Bullseye. I think they would work really well as a team in the 4-star Punisher PvP, because he's going to drop strike tiles and he's going to boost his own strike tiles, and those strike tiles are going to boost the attack tiles, and they're going to boost his green, you know, sort of clear out the chaff. So yeah, as far as this is probably the best 4-star list we've had in a couple weeks. There've been a couple where I've just been kind of on some of the selections, but I think this is a really solid list. So listen to me now, believe me later. And this segment is brought to you by Mystify, which I believe is an ancient Algonquin term for Ian Open Steam.
Okay, great. So what do we got now? Oh, my goodness. It's time for my favorite segment, the synergy segment. Team up time.
Featuring Ray.
Hey, thanks. Favorite segment, really? Anyway. So I'm going to start off this time by saying, because I always forget to, if you have a team that you would like to send me something, because the list is getting low. But this week, I think this is an interesting team up. So I made a list of all the characters and all the ones that I've used in team up I've eliminating. So I'm trying to use some characters we haven't seen before. So in this case, we're going with a 4-star team. We have seen Medusa before, so she's your first. But the other two, pair her up with Blade and Iron Fist, both 4-stars. Seems like a pretty interesting team. I actually haven't tried this out, but you've got Blade, whose hunger immediately is going to start making strike tiles as long as there's some red on the board. So you're going to want to, at first, avoid making any red matches. Focus on getting blue for your Iron Fist, and also green for Iron Fist. The key to Iron Fist is he can generate AP from his powers. So his blue can generate green, and his green can generate black, and his black punches people straight out of the game. Especially if you compare, if you pile on with his black, the strike tiles that you're going to be getting from Blade. Now, as soon as you got some strike tiles out from Blade, you can start matching away the red and get his bloodlust going and be doing random damage, a significant amount of damage to a random enemy. It's way more powerful than people tend to give it credit for. You use them and you start appreciating it. If you need it, you can also use Blade's Tools of the Trade to get some health back if you have enough red AP, but generally I'm not going to worry about that too much. And then Medusa's really there so that if your strike tiles do start to get matched away, you get some healing out of it. You get some temporary hit points to keep your team alive. But it's a really strike-heavy team with Blade and Iron Fist. I don't think it's going to do too well in SEL-10, but hey, if you're in SEL-10, like Samurai said, you're probably not looking to be using 4-stars. So you probably got your own 5-star meta team with whatever, you know, you happen to have. But give it a whirl. Blade at a 5.53, Medusa at a 5.35, and Iron Fist at a 3.55.
But one thing I will say about Iron Fist that you have to be careful with is his green crowd control says that if whenever you fire it off, if you're down to the last guy, you'll deal a lot of damage. If there's more than one person up, then it creates the black AP. Normally, that's not a huge issue if you're getting ready to just, you know, kill the last guy on the board. But it can be problematic if you're trying to set up a combo for say, a wave node where there's survival, where you've got to have another group of folks coming in. So it does require just a little bit of planning as to how you're going to use the green to set up for the black.
I get what you're saying. I really hadn't taken wave fights into consideration with that. So, yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. All right, cool. Great.
Thanks, guys. And thanks to Unify.
Unify!
Hey, what luck. I am getting ready for our next segment, the token opening segment. Steam's already open, and I'm ready to go.
There you go.
I am going to go ahead and poke Mr. Sinister right in his forehead rhombus. And see what 4-star comes out. America Chavez. One ticket to the multiverse, please.
Is she one of your champs?
You betcha.
Okay.
More recent, but she is one of my champs. She is a level 275.
She is dynamite.
Yep. I hear great things.
All right. I have two. I'm going to poke him in that stupid diamond on his forehead. And get a Resolute Queen, Medusa.
Ooh.
Secondly, oh, right. I forgot. Soul Patch. No, still 4-star. Quake. Earthquake. All right. That was a little uneventful. I'm still down, Mr. Sinister, so I'm unable to participate in the one node. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, that is a downer.
But, oh well. Maybe next time.
Is that someone I have? Looks like someone I have.
It's the only character I'm missing. That is not true. I am also missing Havoc now. I'm down 2 5-stars.
Well, I mean... Like, 6 people pulled Havoc out of the HP store that didn't completely whale the thing. I've got a couple dozen tokens. I'm mostly hoarding them for tomorrow when Karnak drops into the mix, but I will go ahead and open a couple now. Sorry?
No, that's wise.
But I will tug on Sinister's cape a couple times for the show's benefit. This is a 4-star Juggernaut Collateral.
I really do like Juggernaut.
And one more. That's a 4-star as well. Thanos, Inescapable Destiny. All these tokens I open, and where did it lead? Back to him. So that puts Juggernaut at a 289, and that puts Thanos at a 284, and that puts my CP at a nice, healthy 1671.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah.
I have not been hoarding any CP. I haven't been really hoarding anything.
I was going to say, I'm always hoarding a little bit of something. I'm just never that successful at it. Oh, thanks to...
This guy!
All right.
Hey, Ian. Yeah? What's on the podcast network?
You got there before I did. Well, it's called the Soon-to-be-named Network. It's available at soon-to-be-named-network.com. It's a collection of... great podcast for your listening pleasure. You can find this and many other shows on there. If you would like a complete archive of all the shows, go over to Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com. All right, I think that is the end of our time together. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
And for sticking through the sitcom arguments.
Yeah, I thought it was insightful. I thought we both interesting and unique points of view.
I agree.
I really wanted to, and then only to discover that that was not what Sluggo meant. And he was like, really? You guys are going to fight it out about Roseanne versus Perfect Strangers?
I mean, I don't feel that strongly about How I Met Your Mother. I thought it was just a weird sort of incongruity, but it was all to justify the Roseanne versus Perfect Strangers, because Perfect Strangers is the hill I will die on.
That's a brave stance to take. I will support you, even though I thought Roseanne was superior show, because that doesn't mean that Perfect Strangers was a bad show. I think it was a little better. But yeah, it was a good show. Thank you for joining us.
I'm UNC always Samurai. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure. You, most people know where to find our show. We're in all the usual places, Stitcher, iTunes.
I love that the script RSS still feeds. It still says now on Stitcher. Do you know how long we've been on Stitcher? Like
recently reworked Stitcher?
Right, exactly. It's, I mean, we've been on Stitcher since, like, I don't know, 3 months in, so, yeah.
Right.
Sluggo says, wait, I walked away for a few minutes and we're back to TV? This is why you should never leave a recording. You have to pay attention.
Right. You get sucked into a parallel dimension. As far as our listener comment and mail section, you can reach Ray in the comment sections of Reddit, sometimes on the forum, sometimes, but not preferably via email. He might even check our Twitter if such a thing exists. Also, if you want things and want us to benefit from you having those things, you can click on our Amazon banner on our homepage, puzzlewarriors3.com, or you can buy things from Cafe Press at cafepress.com/puzzlewarriors3 and craft your own gifts there, and we will reap the benefits.
I was going to say, it's about that time of year where you need that gallon of trombone lubricant. Why? What better place to get it from than Amazon through our banner?
That's true. And so goodbye for now. And remember, next week, Craig will be potentially back, and two of Samurai's biggest moving forward gripes will go head to head as Scrubs faces Roseanne. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, friends.
Listen to us now and download us later.
Good night.
Good night.